You're listening to Retail Gets Real, brought to you by the National Retail Federation. Join us for a look inside the world's largest and most interesting industry. And now your host, Bill Thorne.
Welcome to another episode of Retail Gets Real, where we talk about the industry that impacts everyone, every day, everywhere. I'm Bill Thorne from the National Retail Federation, and today I'm joined by my co-host, my good friend and colleague, Sarah Rand. Hello, Sarah.
Hello, Bill.
How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing all right. We've got a good show today.
We do.
I want to welcome Carlos Mateos Jr., a McDonald's franchisee here locally in the Washington, D.C. area. Hello, Carlos.
How you doing, Bill?
So, Carlos, how did you get into the business?
Oh, where do I start? So,
at the beginning.
There we go. I was born in Jersey. My parents, my mom owned a daycare. My dad was a police officer. He was a police officer for 17 years. So I was born there. And around maybe seven, early eight, I started noticing that our vacations were kind of getting different. We went from going to Florida, maybe going to like an island with our family friends to, hey, let's go to Ohio. And it was like, all right.
Now, people from Ohio would think that's very natural.
You know, I'm sure the everyday hustle and bustle of Ohio is exactly where you want to be. Yeah. So we would start taking these random trips and came to find out my dad had gotten approved as an owner-operator, and he was actually shopping different markets and seeing where he wanted to be, and we're taking looks at different districts and whatnot. So finally, he settled on D.C. We came here late 98, early 99, and our first store that we bought was Roslyn McDonald's, and it was a triple-decker. So that was like my playground. I would go run up and down the stairs and make all the McFlurries and everything like that. And I would just have fun in there. I played baseball my entire life. So I really didn't think about the business. I didn't think about, oh, this is what I want to do. It was always baseball. Went to Florida, played baseball for 2 years down in Florida.
Not for the University of
Florida. Not for the University of Florida.
It would have been a quick interview. Sarah would be having to take over.
Fortunately, it was in Lynn University. I played a year there. And one day I'll never forget, I said, you know what? I feel like I should be back in Virginia. I don't know why. Still was focused on baseball. No idea of McDonald's in my mind. I went back up there and I said, well, let me start, you know, getting into the work and started working part-time at South Capitol McDonald's. And from becoming a crew to becoming a crew trainer was definitely the most influential part of my life to saying, this is what I want to do.
For people who don't know, what's a crew trainer?
So a crew trainer is the next step after a crew in which they are experts in every station. So you have to learn every station. You have to be in the kitchen. You have to cook. You have to assemble. You have to make fries. You have to prep. You have to learn how to take orders, a drive-through, everything that you can imagine that happens in a McDonald's every day. That's what a crew trainer learns how to do.
So you've done every role?
Everything. And actually, my hidden secret is my favorite position is the kitchen.
You know, it's a big club because I, too, was McDonald's crew at one point in my life. So it's and when I say it's a big club, yep. You talk to people, you ask a show of hands who started their jobs, mm-hmm. their job life as crew at McDonald's, yep. And half the room goes up.
Absolutely. I mean, and you talk to people, and now the more experience I get, I think everyone should. Maybe not specifically at McDonald's, but definitely in that environment, because what you learn is priceless. Dealing with people every day, I mean, it's a huge part of our society that unfortunately is kind of gone for naught nowadays with having conversations, dealing with people, being able to do that, being able to deal with so many coworkers at one time. I mean, in any given day, we have up to 21, 22 crew at one time. So to deal with so many people all at once, you learn camaraderie, you learn how to work with others, the true definition of teamwork. You know, on a baseball field, I would play with nine people at once. And here I'm doubling that. So it's something that it's really valuable life lessons that you can learn at McDonald's. And then if you continue to move up, especially into a shift manager, to learn how to handle every aspect of that business on a daily basis, you can take those skills anywhere you go.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So your dad started at the Roslyn location, which for those of you that have not been to D.C. is just across the river from D.C. And now you own it.
And now I own it.
And I've been there.
Yeah.
It's totally redone. It's totally tricked out. I ordered on a screen. tell us all the differences between what you're looking at now and what it looked like back in 99, I think you said.
Oh, yeah. So back then we had, I believe it was 11 cash registers. It would be just loaded, and you'd have the line out the door waiting for that. Again, you had it was a triple decker. And now, I mean, I want to say it's the future, but it's the present. It is what it is today. I would expect no less that we have 6 kiosks, 3 double-sided kiosks. You take your order as fast as you want to take your order. It's at the customer's own pace. We have baked goods, which consists of croissants, chocolatines, petites. Those petites are really dangerous. Every time I go in there and I smell it. We're doing table service 100% of the time. But again, if the customer wants, they can elect not to have any table service, or they can do table service. I'm trying to think. We have a lot. The mobile app now is out, and that, for me, is my favorite way to order. A millennial, I love to have conversations, but I also like my own privacy, too, sometimes. So place an order, go in there, really don't have to communicate with anybody, pick up my order, and out the door.
So Roslyn's a kind of business center in D.C. I think it's probably really busy for breakfast and lunch, and then not as much on the weekends.
Yeah.
So you're dealing with a business crowd. Mm-hmm. Do you see trends there that you don't see in other McDonald's?
Yeah, it's really interesting. In different markets, in different restaurants, you see completely different demographics. And that you definitely see. What I was going into Roslyn thinking was, okay, bunch of millennials. This is all I'm going to deal with is millennials. And at 5 o'clock in the morning, you see so many different kinds of people. And then throughout the day, you see from everywhere. And it's interesting because we're catering to just about everybody that you could imagine in that business district. When in my mind, I was like, okay, only millennials. We're seeing a lot of different things. From Monday through Friday store, we call it, business district. We have another restaurant on C Street, 4th and C Street, Southwest. And it's a very similar environment that you have all those business people, and they keep you on your toes. They keep me on my toes because their expectations are much higher, and it's great. It's great to be able to, I get to have conversations with them, and we have good conversations, good feedback on what they think, what they see, and what I can implement.
You know, one of the things McDonald's is, I believe, very well known for is how they give back to the communities that they serve. They're always involved. They're always engaged. They've got their finger on the pulse because they're in the front line of what's going on in that community. They see more people in a day than most elected officials see in 2 years until they go up for reelection. Mm-hmm. Why is that important?
That is, so what I always tell my employees is work, be at McDonald's, obviously I'm at McDonald's, this is your second home. This is our second home. When we're not at the house, we're here. So this is our family. And the customers are the exact same way. If you're spending the second most of your time at the restaurant, you're seeing all those people, mostly on a daily basis. And you want to get to know them. You want to be able to influence them a little bit and be able to help out on things and know what's going on in the areas, know what's going on in their lives. You know, even with my employees, I like to know what's going on in their lives. I ask them, how's everything going? You know, if someone comes in late, I don't say, why are you late? I ask, is everything okay? You know, it's a difference. So when you deal with those customers all the time and you're seeing them all the time, you want to be able to be an influence in their lives and help out in any way that you can.
Is there any story of a crew that you've come in contact with through your experience that has, you know, they took the job, maybe they were young, and they've stayed, you know, in touch, or maybe even stayed in the system, that you would qualify as truly a success story?
Oh, there's so many people that I've come into contact with that most of the people I see don't understand the potential that they have. And I think that's just human nature. Sometimes we don't understand that our limitations are not as limited as we may think. And in talking to them, they get this new sense of pride by encouraging them on what they can do. And unfortunately, people don't realize that McDonald's is one of the best stepping stones I've ever seen. And it's also a phenomenal career. Being able to move up, a lot of people come in there and say, oh, I'm just here for a crew position. And when you get to spend some time with them, you tell them, you know, you're capable of much more. So there's been a lot of instances. For example, right now, my people department manager, and this is one of the things that I love to see. I was working with her at one of our restaurants in Alexandria off of Route 1, right off of 495. And she was, I believe, 16 at the time. Super shy. I mean, in that interview, all she could do was smile because she didn't know what to say. And this is the way I have an interview. It's a simple conversation. And I say, you know what? Let's go with it. Let's see what we got and go from there. She started off just taking orders. Then she went into the drive-thru. Now, when you go into the drive-thru, especially at that restaurant, it is extremely busy drive-thru. So that's a lot of pressure. When I saw the way that she could handle the drive-thru and the way that she was handling customers, she didn't see what I saw. And a lot of people don't see what I see. So I was able to pull her aside and say, you know, you're doing a great job. This, and that. This is what I like. This is what we can work on. But you can definitely move up. Fast forward 2 years. She's 19 now. She's a department manager at Roslyn. She handles interviews. She handles scheduling, all this. And we're constantly talking. And it's not just talking about specific business, but it's talking about business ethics. It's talking about, okay, maybe we could have done this differently. Maybe we could have spoken to this person like that. And it's an overall just forming. And she's someone that I see that I work close with almost every day. And I say, wow, I don't think she knows where she can go. And for me, and especially someone that young, it's so positive for me. And it's so influencing for me because that's what I want to see.
Yeah, it's so affirming that what you're doing is making a difference in people's lives. And people, you know, they look at corporate America and they, you know, they cast judgment. It's just, you know, making money. Mm-hmm. But they're employers. They're bringing people and giving them opportunity, especially those opportunity populations that wouldn't have it otherwise.
Yep.
And people don't see that. And I think it's really, really important to talk about it. I mean, we work for, you know, a lot of different retailers, large and small. We work for food retail. We work for grocers. The stories are just, they touch your heart because where these, some of the people that recognize this as a first opportunity, you don't know where they would have ended up unless they had that opportunity. Mm-hmm. So it's a wonderful thing that McDonald's does.
You obviously care a lot about the people, and that's, I think, part of the culture. But you also have this McDonald's that is has a lot of automation. You've got the mobile app. It used to be McDonald's, I think you said, had 11
registers, yep.
And now it's got, I think, 4 or 5. Mm-hmm. What do you say to the people who say, are robots replacing jobs? Like, how can you care about people and introduce all this technology?
I say, come spend a day with me. So it's funny. Going into Roslyn, I was part of that construction process. Now, during the construction process, my mind is rattling off about operations. How are we going to do this? How are we going to be efficient? How are we going to be able to keep up with demand? Because I didn't know what it was going to be like, how busy we were going to be, but I wanted to give the best service possible. So I was thinking, I go, okay, well, I need to have this many people, and I need to have that many people with the kiosk. Now, obviously, initially, we were going to have people at the kiosk helping customers along. But one of the things I said was, okay, six people in the kitchen is usually defined as your kitchen is full. You have everybody that you need in your kitchen. So I did that, loaded up my service, had everyone there. And we opened up, I remember, during our peak, our busiest time was 27 people on the clock at the same time. Normal McDonald's, very busy McDonald's that I've been to, usually operate with maybe 18, 19. Yet we were the most advanced out of any other McDonald's in the area. And when I did that, I realized I need more people still. Because what happens is there's this influx of orders now. Though you had the three kiosks double-sided, now you're getting six orders at the same time, plus four registers, so that's 10 orders. We have another register, that's 11. Any mobile app orders, that can be infinite. So we had this influx of orders, and the kitchen was where I needed to focus. So I needed to hire more people in the kitchen. Then I realized people really love table service. I need more people to deliver the food out there. So I would hire more people there. I still realize that there are people that absolutely will not use a kiosk, won't try it, won't look at it. So they go to the cash registers. I still have all my cashiers at the registers.
I'm one of those people, by the way.
I, on the other hand, tried the mobile app.
There you go. I welcome both of you at my store at any time. So we have McCafe. We have so many aspects of the business that we need more people. And that's where I'm realizing that I never knew how automation was going to work. For me, it was kind of like, oh, well, if everyone thought like me, I would just use a kiosk. But you don't have that.
Right.
That perfect world doesn't exist. And it's not really a perfect world. It's just there's always going to be different obstacles. There's always going to be different people coming in through your door that are expecting different things. So in order to keep up, we still have more people yet on the schedule.
You know, it's interesting because I heard an interview with someone that was asked the question, and it was in a fulfillment center, and they said, well, are these robots going to replace workers? He said, here's the deal. Our robots, our technologies are not implemented to take jobs. They're implemented to make those jobs easier and more efficient.
Keyword efficiency. I use that word on a daily basis. So now I can take the people that were taking orders and focus on quality product. Focus on what are we doing in the kitchen and are we making sure that every order is hot, fresh, prepared for them. I can take those people, put them in table service and create that human interaction again and say, here you go, here's your food. How's your day today, by the way? You know, creating a different environment that's where we're going. And I mean, we can focus on different aspects of the business because in McDonald's, there's so many. And it's like I tell people, I go, okay, would you rather learn three languages, 33% each of them, or two languages, 50% each of them? Efficiency says two languages at 50%. So that's what I want to do. I want to be able to break down that store and say, I want to focus right here in this area and do it 100%. And that gives us the opportunity to do so.
You know, we're running out of time, which I regret very much because I've really enjoyed this conversation. I'm a huge fan of what McDonald's does every single day in just about every single city in America, and certainly in the rural areas offering jobs and opportunity. One of the great things when I ran a political race for someone was the place you had to go was the McDonald's in the morning early because it was the same like eight locals that go every morning for coffee and whatever their choice of food was. Mm-hmm. And you would sit there with them and you'd learn so much about what they're hearing, what their concerns are. And those are like the community centers of today, and especially in rural America. But Carlos, if people wanted to learn more about McDonald's, where would they go on the web?
Well, personally, we have our own website, cool. MCD Mateos, M-A-T-E-O-S. gives a little background about us, about my father, about how he started, a little insight on all the restaurants that we own. We own 16 now in the DMV. But you could go to McDonald's.com and, I mean, really Google and talk to someone that's in a restaurant near you. Talk to a restaurant manager, because I guarantee they started from the bottom and they've seen everything that they needed to see, and they could tell you exactly what they think of the job.
That's fantastic. Now, before you go, we have a segment of the program that we call Rapid Response.
Ooh.
Yeah. We're just going to ask you some questions, and all you have to do is come up with the first thing that comes to mind.
It sounds good.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Are you ready, Sarah?
Yeah.
All right. Kick us off.
Yankees, Mets, or Nationals?
Mets.
You can leave now. What is the app that you can't live without?
Instagram.
Last print magazine you picked up?
Sports Illustrated.
Who is the person you admire most?
My dad.
I knew that was coming.
Fries or hash browns?
Hash browns.
What's the last book you read?
How to Deal with Success.
Morning person or night owl?
Night owl.
Well, Carlos, thank you so much for being our guest
today. Thank you so much.
This has been incredibly interesting. We've really, really enjoyed it, and I look forward to getting over to your store in Roslyn.
I really appreciate it.
Sarah, thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
And thank you all for listening to another episode of Retail Gets Real. We'll post more information about the topics we discussed today on our website, retailgetsreal.com, where you can also find links to other episodes. Subscribe to the show and give us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. We're also on Google Play and Stitcher. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
You've been listening to Retail Gets Real, brought to you by NRF. For more information about the National Retail Federation, visit us online at nrf.com.